Well, Alan asked me to give a large practice perspective, and his request sort of coincided with a review our organisation had carried out, given the tough times that we're facing, because it's as tough over there as it is here, although we've got the benefit of being protected to a degree by being within the M25. How do I move this on, Alan? So what I thought I'd do is just share with you the review that we carried out, and then try and apply that to a Northern Irish context, and look at issues such as design, technology, environment, a brief word on the international dimension and our experience there, a wee bit about generational living, and finally end on communication. We're a top 10 UK architectural practice. We have 270 staff, the majority of which are architects. And we've always done it like that because we've always thought that architects give you the most flexibility in terms of what they can turn your hand to, which Simon picked up on earlier. We're mainly based in London. That's our biggest campus. We've got offices in Surrey, small offices in Manchester, Moscow and Beijing, and more on that in a little bit. This is how we're structured. We're essentially business units, but we're well managed. We've got a strong core, and the reason we do that is because if we didn't, we wouldn't have a strategy for external investment or international expansion, because each individual group would probably wouldn't be looking above their own particular parapet. Architects like pictures to explain things, and I produced this a couple of years ago because the PRP Jeep was about to head into some very sticky conditions. The desert was ahead. We were reasonably well supplied, but some of my colleagues thought that Ming vase on top of the Jeep was going to survive with its several precious flowers coming out of it. And my view was that we might be able to keep one of those precious flowers, but not all five of them. Our recent review has looked at sort of lower scenarios and higher scenarios, and the lower scenario assumes a Eurozone default, the higher one doesn't. But this notion that what happens in Europe seriously affects what architectural practice does, not only in Northern Ireland, but certainly in London, is something that has really hit home in the last couple of years. And then other issues like the difficult mortgage market in London. It's the same in the north at the moment. And also this notion about how important the residential sector is to the UK economy, because if people are going out to IKEA and to do it all and whatnot, buying stuff, you know that the economy is booming because people have got a feel-good factor. They're buying stuff, they're putting it in their houses, they're expanding, extending, or moving home. And that's not really happening at the moment across the UK. So prospects for 2012, with the private sector treading water, tender prices are flat. There is going to be contraction largely in the construction industry. And the difficulty in publicly funded programmes with the government's government cutbacks. And an increase in claims and insolvencies. We found that in tighter times, you're going to be spending more time fighting claims, unfortunately. But on the flip side, there are opportunities for investment. House builder profits are actually on the increase in the southeast in the last couple of weeks. That will feed through to the rest of the UK. Not sure when it'll happen in Northern Ireland, but it will happen. And architects are generally ahead of the economic curve. Maybe we've been through our tough times, and brighter times are ahead. So we've been looking at strategies for growth. We are a large practice, but we're completely dwarfed compared to the ACOMs and the AEDISs of this world. And how do we compete with them? And as Simon also mentioned, the threat of professionals from abroad perhaps coming in to steal our thunder. And we are essentially a single sector practice. Residential development is our core. We do all aspects of it, and we have found it difficult to break out of that. It's one of the curious things about architecture. You get known for doing a certain thing, and you're not allowed to do anything else. It must have been an Ulsterman who coined this phrase. It's hard to make predictions, especially about the future. And I think whether you're a glass half full merchant or a glass half empty merchant is important here. I think most of us at PRP are glass half full people, I think. We've been generally reasonably good at predicting what the next big things are going to be, including families in the city, the whole environmental agenda, and the international aspect. From a Northern Irish point of view, there are centres of growth here, and having tried to do a little bit of work over here, well, I've collaborated with Martin Harris in the audience on one or two things over the years. It is difficult. You are a protected market, and that's a good thing. It's very hard for UK practices to come and steal work from you guys, and you need to hold on to that. Collaboration is a good thing, and we're doing that with a number of smaller practices. So always keep your mind open to that. But these the centres of growth are interesting. Dungannon, where I went to school, is transformed almost every time I visit it. So I think that's a sign of prosperity. The public realm and the whole notion of design, it's important to recognise that the government has placed design very high on the agenda, despite slashing the budgets to deliver that agenda. But it's still up there and it's expected to be delivered, and that puts architects in an important light. And public realm and the role of landscape architecture is also equally important in that. I'll come back to housing for the elderly and international. That image is of our first international competition. We came third in that competition. It was for a large housing scheme in Moscow, but it actually led to us setting up our first international office, which was in Moscow. And the reason we did that, we thought in 2007 that we needed to guard against a downturn in London after the 2012 Olympics, because every city that's ever hosted the Olympics has suffered a major downturn in the area where the Olympics happened. So we were thinking ahead. We hadn't banked on an even bigger recession coming and biting us before then. That affected our Moscow office, but we kept it open, and it's probably our one international success story. That advice, send someone you can't afford to lose back home. Send someone abroad to run that office. It came from one of the directors of Davis Langdon, and it's a sound piece of advice. We did that in Moscow. We didn't do it in India. We didn't do it in China. And we've struggled in those areas. But you can't ignore the global aspect. China has predicted at least 8.2% increase in GDP this year. India is not far behind. Russia's 3.7%. And Brazil, and we've dipped our toe in the Brazilian market as well, and think we can't really compete with American practices there. But you can see the Eurozone is predicted to go down in terms of GDP expansion. on the internet, nobody knows your dog. Now, this brings me on to BIM, because I think it's still a bit of a best-kept secret, and what BIM can do for the architecture profession, I think, remains to be seen. But I think the potential is immense. We've started rolling it out through Revit in the practice. We're probably about 30% coverage, 30-35%. And some of our architects reckon you're getting an increase in efficiency and production of anything between 25% and 50%, which is absolutely phenomenal in the current tight environment. And the only reason I'm saying that is because there aren't many contractors in the room, because as sure as eggs are eggs, they'll be expecting that sort of reduction in fee levels. And if they do, you should say no, because you have to invest to get this expertise. And there are some who are better at it than others. It's a phenomenal tool. It allows you to place the architect at the heart of the decision-making process. It gives the architects improved spatial awareness within design teams. And you probably know the architects within your teams who will embrace this better than others, and those are the guys you need to encourage. It's the ease of revision of global updates and drawing prediction. Production is phenomenal. The red line indicates where we should be given current technology. The bottom end of the triangle is basically drawing boards, basically, And AutoCAD is an AutoCAD programs are a little bit ahead of that. But where we want to be is to the right of that red line, where there's total interdisciplinary working between all consultants producing the model. The curve on the right is the traditional method of producing information. The curve on the left is the BIM model, where you're bringing everything forward, producing it earlier. There's greater input, greater investment earlier on, but less chance of things going wrong at the critical period, which is to the right of that graph. It lends itself to low carbon design, to wind modelling, sunlight and daylight, thermal performance, thermal bridging. All of those things lead on from the model. For constructors, it gives you clash detection measurement for quantity surveying and logistics planning, and the advantages for clients, design optimization, better teamwork, design engagement, marketing potentially, facilities management. And for architects, if you think of it in its purest form, you're able to build a building in three dimensions, a virtual building, which will be 100 times better than any contractor can ever build on site. Your architects are going to have to understand everything that puts that building together. So the importance of the architect cannot be diminished here. And I think we need to seize that opportunity and not sell it short, because it takes highly skilled operators to operate at that pure end. A couple of other aspects then. Your pension will be fine as long as you don't do anything rash like retire. And an unbelievable statistic at the bottom here. Since 1800, our average life expectancy has more than doubled. And since 1955, it's a third more than it was then. So within a generation, our life expectancy has increased by a third. On top of that, the rate of disability is plummeting whilst we're getting older. So there's a big market there. The one bit of our organisation that has been relatively unaffected by the downturn is the bit doing housing for the elderly and extra care sheltered and homes for dementia care, etc. Northern Ireland's got a fairly young population, but it's a growing population, and the elderly population is growing as well. And it's not just housing the elderly, it's what the elderly want to do after they retire, if they can retire. We're talking leisure, increased tourism. There's a burgeoning market there. Communication. Believe it or not, Herzog and de Meuron just had their first website about 6 months ago, according to Peter Murray, who was in our office last week giving a talk on the subject of communication. What he told us was that photography is very important. He reckons that Norman Foster, Richard Rogers, Jim Sterling, and a couple of the other notable architects at the time would not have made the name they did in the early 80s had it been for two things: good communication and excellent photography of their schemes, which found its way into Architectural Review and other things. It hasn't diminished in terms of communication on the internet and things like Flickr, etc., so it's very important. Brochures are becoming a thing of the past, I think. Websites, very important, and do not put dodgy images on your website because they will cost you. But blogs are becoming more important almost than websites. John Lyle Architects have a blog which is 3 months old. It was last updated 3 months ago, but it gets more hits than their website does. The environment, the government is fudging the issue on this a little bit and is causing a bit of consternation on the mainland anyway. Hopefully that'll be clarified by the time it's enacted over here. I think Northern Ireland is always a couple of years behind England and Wales in terms of carbon compliance, but it is happening. Residential units needs to be zero carbon from 2016, non-resi from 2019. So that's an aspect which you're probably already embracing, but it's not going to go away. So in summary, really, expand or contract. Maybe expansion is not an option for most Northern Irish practices. The notion of practice DNA, though, hold on to what you've got. every practice has got something special, and you need to communicate that, and your business will expand or certainly not contract. And then new areas for expansion. What are the council assets being disposed of over here? The health estate stuff that Martin and I looked at, that's still out there. It still needs to be disposed of, I think. Hotels and leisure, especially in terms of an elderly context. Retrofit and refurbishment. The Green Deal's coming, and it'll affect Northern Ireland as well. We've invested in that. It's not a cash cow, but it can certainly keep a part of your business running. Commercial fit-out, food retail has managed to not decline. And those fast-growing centres, and finally, on the international side of things, you need to treat it with caution, and you need to send your best person, unfortunately, if you are serious about it. Okay, Alan?